twice.
Exciting episode of the Middleman Talk Show, and I am one of your hosts, Kevin.
And I am Jan, your other host. I thought you was going to tell everybody you were Kevin.
My mind state is thrown off today. You know, I'm kind of upset with our other host of the show, Alan. I'm going to talk to him. I think I might put his tires on flat. I'm just playing. That would be so much not like me. I don't need to do that. I'm going to just talk bad about it. Yeah, I mean, you know, you ain't on the show, so, you know, I got to talk bad about you. But, you know, we do appreciate everybody that's been supporting this show over the past couple of months. Man, our downloads are looking incredible. To all the people that's supporting that Tuesday morning takeover, man, I tell you, that show is doing great. You know, it may be... You know, you may hear the same episode here and there, but overall, we thank you. We appreciate you for supporting that show. And, Jen, I want to let you be the second to know, not the first, but the second, because all of our Facebook family found out a little bit earlier today. The Middleman Talk Show, we would like to let everybody know that we are possibly coming up with a new show, and it's called The Middleman Sports Talk.
Yeah, I saw it today.
Okay, well, you're the first to know, too, then. Hey, but, you know, I just get so tired of Al talking about sports on this show, so we was like, hey, man, let's go ahead and do this show. So if you guys, any of you guys out there that are interested in doing a sports talk show, you know, you're very fluent in every facet of sports. You understand the terminology. You understand the sport itself, whatever sports, from baseball, hockey, football, lacrosse, or whatever. Hit us up at wearethemiddleman@gmail.com. This is an intern position, so, you know, if you want to come in and be a co-host on this sports talk show, we will be welcoming you to our family if that's something you would like to do. Just hit us up about it.
Yeah,
you know,
that's
cool. You know about sports, we'll take you on over there. You don't like sports?
That is very cool. I like certain sports. Like, you know, like one time I went on a date to a baseball game. It was like the most boring experience I ever have. So never take me to a date on a baseball game. But like, I like football. I really, really, really like football a lot, and I like soccer.
Soccer's okay. Just a lot of running around. You got to understand why is this happening? Why are they running back and forth so much? I mean. My son, so-called, wanted to play soccer, and I told him straight up, look here, man, you know, them boys, you know, that's a lot of running. He don't even like to run when he plays football. So I'm like, look, dude, that's a lot of running. He don't know what he's getting into.
And I like cheerleading. Cheerleading is a sport. Really? I like to watch the competition cheerleading team, so that's interesting.
Well, I can't front. At first, I thought it wasn't a sport until I started paying more attention to what these girls go through. I'm a cheerleader. You know, my daughter at one time did have a little cheerleading experience. But other than that, you know, it's a sport. I got to give it up to them, Jen.
They're very athletic.
But, you know, them little boys that's on the team, you know, hey. Some of them straight and some of them, hey, you need to check them little boys. Get them in order.
Oh, gosh.
But with the music that I'm playing in the background, I want to say R.I.P. to Pimp C. You know, also we found out today, this is all for my Southern hip hop heads out there, Mama West, Pimp C's mother, she passed today. So, you know, I want to send condolences to the Butler family, you know, and all the people that were affiliated with Trill Entertainment. You know, it's a sad day in Southern hip hop, and you know, she's with her son now, and, you know, it's It's just, you know, you never know. The song that her son penned, one day you're here, the next day you're gone. So, you know, I want to give condolences to their family, to the Butler family, and to her grandson and the children of Chad Butler. So, you know, for all those that know about UGK, you know what I'm saying, let's send a big prayer up to the family, man, and support their family in their time of grief. But, Jen, on to some other stuff. Have you had the chance to see the picture of Kanye West and them babies? Kanye West and Kim Kardashian. Is it me or do Kim Kardashian look a little funny that she had this baby? Jen? Your mic messed up over there? Well, I guess so, but yeah, she looks a little funny, and what's going on with this baby is that, you know, Kanye West is spending a whole lot of money to fortify his cars, make sure that those cars are safe and secure, like $1.5 million per vehicle, to make sure that this baby is safe and secure. Now, if it was me, you know what I'm saying, I'd hire maybe 2-3 bodyguards. That one right in the front, one right in the back. So, you know, my baby would definitely be safe. But I don't know if I could spend $1.5 million on a car just to secure my baby. Like, somebody really want to kidnap
baby. I thought it was egregious and gross, like, about the whole car. Just because no one's going to, like, they have security. I don't think anyone is after them on that level.
Kanye West is a paranoid young brother. That's all I can say. $1.5 million on the car? No. And like I said, with just looking at Kim Kardashian right now, I mean, she don't look the same no more. Like,
I think this is taking a toll. I think Kanye is crazy. I've said this before. I agree with Wendy Williams. I don't think this is going to end well. I think that she's going to have a very big fight ahead of her. She might be in the same position as, you know, she's going to be fighting for her baby. This baby, Kanye West,
well, I will say this, Jen, Kanye West has enough money to, if she ever wanted to take it to court, she going to lose. The boy will put it on. Now, her family's broke by no means.
No, but Kanye is crazy on top of all of his millions of dollars, and I think he will fight her to the death, you know, for the baby.
I believe so, too. And I want to give a shout-out to all those that's buying those new iPhones. They talking about they got a new iPhone coming out, iPhone C. I'm down with the droid, just point blank. I don't have to sit up here and, you know, buy stuff through iTunes and all that crap. All you people out there that got that doggone iPhone, I feel sorry for you. They talking about the price maybe in the $600s, $600 to $700 for a phone, cell phone.
I think that's egregiously gross too. Like, you should not pay $600 for a telephone. I mean, it should never, ever, ever be that serious. I just don't think so. Not unless it was just, like, your corporate phone and you did every... I just don't, as a regular person, you have no business having, like, a $600 phone. That's just crazy.
That's true. All right, y'all. On to tonight. Tonight, the title of the show is called The Minority Report. Basically, what we're going to be talking about tonight, we're going to be talking about a couple of different subjects that, you know, are prevalent in the minority community, or the black, whatever, different colors, you know, the same things that we pay attention to. But some of the subjects that we're going to talk about tonight is Mayor Bloomberg up in New York. He got that stop and frisk, the constitutionality of it. It was struck down. There's a lot of bad things about it. We're going to talk about that. We're also going to talk about Oprah Winfrey with that little incident over in Switzerland. And if you've been on the rock, this whole situation with Russell Simmons and his Harriet Tubman sex tape spoof, man, I got the response to this brother and why he said he did what he did with that sex tape on his YouTube channel. And also, Robin Thicke, Clifford Harris, and Pharrell Williams, they sued the Marvin Gaye family over this Blurred Line record. Now, we got little clips for y'all a little bit later on. We're going to play a couple of clips in regards to that right there. I want y'all to tell me what you think. The phone lines are open. The number to dial, 718-508-9972. You know, we're going to do this thing tonight. And what we're going to do right here, y'all, for all those that didn't get the opportunity to hear Tuesday Morning Takeover. You know what I'm saying? I'm going to play a record that's played on Tuesday Morning Takeover all the time. And I like this record. So if you like this record, make sure that you tune in every Tuesday at 10 a.m. Eastern to 12 p.m. Central. I mean Eastern. That's 10 to 12. Make sure you tune into this show. You're going to hear this record again on that show. So this is Willie Taylor. The record is called Morning. Y'all check this one out. You're listening to The Middleman on Blog Talk Radio, Middleman Radio. Here we go.
Yeah. Ooh. You, baby. La 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 la. Wish I could be like this.
Woke up this morning, feeling like a million bucks. I had a whole lot of energy, like Folgers in my cup, like breakfast on the table, the kind mama used to make, and with no makeup on, what a beautiful face. I'm so happy. The girl is over, yeah, yeah. So glad I woke up right here. I woke up right next to the most beautiful thing. And as I opened my eyes, as he reached over and kissed me. One of those dreams, and I wanna sleep the whole night through.
Yeah.
Cause if I wake up in the morning and it's not the same, then brown to make a brother like me go insane. I'm so happy, yeah, being with you right now.
Recognize that voice right there. Yes, that is Willie from Make Another Band with P. Diddy. That's that Willie.
I like that.
Yeah, that's a good record. I'm telling you, it's one of the ones that just smooth. It's adult. It's cool. It ain't overly sexualized. I mean, I can let my mama listen to that one. But if you want
to
hear like that again, make sure you tune in with us on Tuesday mornings. That's the Tuesday Morning Takeover from 10 a.m. to 12 p.m. That's Eastern. Make sure you join our man Nick Eden with the Tuesday morning takeover. And before we begin with these topics right here, I want to give a shout out to our people, Cotton Kings. You know what I'm saying? They got a great brand of shirts. Make sure y'all go check out the Cotton Kings. Man, if they get that website up, I would love to plug that website. But Cotton Kings, great shirts. We're still waiting on our box for the Cotton King shirt, so it's all good. But I support them brothers. All right, on to today's show. Like we said, we're going to be discussing a couple of various topics today. And we're going to start off with Mayor Bloomberg and this stop and frisk law in New York. And he also has another situation out there, Jen, where he wants all of the tenants of the housing authority, the New York Housing Authority, all the tenants that live in the projects, basically, he wants them to start giving fingerprints to get entryway into the buildings that they live in. This guy is crazy.
Why?
He said, just like his stop and frisk law, that it will prevent people from getting in the buildings and prevent them from basically starting crimes in those particular buildings.
No, it won't. All it would do is add cost to the tax. You know how costly it would to be the fingerprint all those people? And really, it's a violation of privacy. That's just gross.
But from the story that I got this from, they're actually going to put in electrical locks with, like, cards. Like, if you don't have that electrical card that can scan like you would get into a dorm, you won't be able to get into those particular buildings. Now, you know, like I know, I'm going to just keep this frank and blunt. Mayor Bloomberg is an old man from the old guard. Yes, I truly believe that this dude is a racist. I don't like to call the race card on a lot of people, but I truly believe that this guy is racist. I really do. Because some of the things that he's implementing is crazy.
What is the what point? Because, first of all, if anybody, if you lived in a dorm, or you know that, you know, all you have to do is just scan someone in, you know, I just don't think it's going to prevent crime like it is. All it does is create profiles on people. They can bring people in for questioning, run their, you know, fingerprints through the system. I think it's just profiling people, and it's unfair. And to let this happen, you know, so many things are in our country that are happening now. These underlying racist acts are happening now, and, like, no one's saying anything about them. Like,
mm-hmm.
That's a severe violation of someone's rights, you know, just because, you know, they may need thing, or, you know, they have children, they're in some kind of situation. You never know what the situation is, but to violate their rights just because it's in a financial bind, it's unfair.
Well, you know, one thing that they tried to implement a while ago, too, and I forgot what state it was, but they were trying to put all the criminals' blood in a database, you know, just for the DNA. So, along with these fingerprints, eventually they're going to have every aspect of you as a person to, you know, kind of match it up against any crime. And you've seen where some of these crimes, like, basically put people in a bad situation, even with the DNA, and they may not have had anything to do with it.
Or what it does is it gives the right to people to plant fingerprints, to,
yep.
you know, make crimes how they want to. I just don't think that you should ever give someone that much power over you. I think it's a violation. And what is really strange to me is that a lot of these people that are pro, I guess, these welfare reform, because this is part of the welfare reform, you know, act, are, like, they are against gun laws. They're against, like, gun registration. They're against,
right.
you know, I want you to register for housing, but I don't want you to register housing. It's crazy.
Yeah, if you get food stamps, basically you're going to have to fall into the system of what they want you to do. Right now, what we're going to do, I want to get into this whole stop and frisk. If you're not familiar with that, that is a law that stops up to 54% of the blacks, and I think it was like 20-something percent of the Latinos in New York. And there's different variations of this law across the country where if you are deemed to be, quote-unquote, suspicious, or you look like you've committed a crime or you've done something wrong, the police can just basically pull up on you and stop you and go through your pockets and your car and basically just hem you up. So this law has been deemed unconstitutional, you know, in so many realms, but we got a clip right here I want to play in regards to this stop and frisk. And as soon as we get past this clip right here, we're going to get back in to discuss it, okay? Here we go.
This is a historic and long overdue victory, because what this court has confirmed today is something that many New Yorkers, hundreds of thousands, if not millions of New Yorkers, have known for many, many years.
On the 12th of August, a U.S. judge ruled that the New York Police Department stop and frisk program was unconstitutional because it targeted racially defined groups, all while the city's highest officials turned a blind eye. The ruling is being seen as a massive victory for civil rights groups, who have long argued that the controversial program discriminates against the city's African American and Hispanic populations. And the fact that the judge who made this ruling was a federal one, i.e. one appointed by the president, means that this case could have huge ramifications for similar stop and frisk programs around the United States. Between 2004 and 2012, more than 4.4 million stops were made on the streets of New York City. 84% of these stops were made on African American and Hispanic citizens, despite the fact that these groups make up only 62% of the city's population as a whole. And in 88% of these 4.4 million plus stops, no subsequent ticket was issued, i.e. the police found no reason to take further action. But the shocking statistics don't end there. A 2012 report by the New York Civil Liberties Union found that in 2011, the number of frisk searches carried out on young black men was higher than the number of actual young black men living in New York City altogether. The report also found that only 1.8% of the African American and Hispanic people stopped in 2011 had weapons on them, compared with 3.8% of the white people stopped. But despite all this evidence for discrimination, the city's mayor, Michael Bloomberg, says he will appeal the ruling.
This is a very dangerous decision made by a judge that I think just does not understand how policing works and what is compliant with the U.S. Constitution as determined by the Supreme Court.
To be clear, Judge Shira Sheindlin's ruling doesn't mean that the practice of stop and frisk is going to be banned in New York City. But what it did do is confirm that the NYPD's program targeted people based on the color of their skin and made it clear that this was illegal. To try and prevent this from happening in the future, Sheindlin has ordered several measures to be taken, including a trial program where police officers in one precinct of each of the city's five boroughs will be forced to wear body cameras in order to document every single stop that they make. NYPD's practice of stopping, questioning and frisking, or searching as it's known in the UK, goes back to the 1970s. However, it's only supposed to be carried out by officers when they have reasonable suspicion to believe that someone poses a danger, has committed a crime, or is preparing to commit one. And grounds for reasonable suspicion do not include the colour of someone's skin.
It is true that also we think it is probably a deterrent to kids for carrying a gun, because they know if they happen to be in an area where a crime was committed and they happen to roughly fit the description, which is generally pretty broad, of the perpetrator, they could be stopped and they don't want to have a gun in their hands.
Under Mayor Bloomberg, the practice has expanded dramatically. In 2002, the year Bloomberg first came into office, 97,296 stops were made. By 2011, this number had risen to 700,000. That's a seven-fold increase. And according to NYPD officer Pedro Serrano, under Bloomberg, officers have been expected to fill quotas that force them to make more stops than they would have otherwise. But Bloomberg argues the stop and frisk program has contributed to a 30% reduction in violent crime in the city since 2001.
That was the stop and frisk report right there. We want to make sure that you guys had the opportunity to hear that. Jen, I know you heard some of the numbers on there. I'm going to try to put some of these numbers back out on that clip for those that are just tuning in. Today we're talking about the minority report, the things that are more prevalent in the African-American communities and people of color. I'm glad that it was a federal judge that did make this ruling, as she stated, that, you know, it's ramifications across the country with this, because there's a lot of other precincts that primarily do the same thing to us. You know, it's not called
every night,
but it's the same thing. Now, She was saying that out of the 4.4 million residents of New York that were stopped, 84% of them were African American and Latino. She also stated only 8% were white. How in the world you get that? I mean, and they try to say it's not racial. Out of the 4.4 million, 88% of them didn't even get a ticket. 88% did not get a ticket. Now, from what I understand, Jen, the ones that did get tickets or get caught with a gun, primarily the things that they primarily caught a lot of these guys with were small bags of marijuana. So if you're getting caught with weed and you're using all that manpower, all that tax, all that amount of tax dollars just to say, hey, I got a guy that got an ounce of weed, come on, man. Come on, man. We need to do better than this, New York. But I'm glad that this judge, which I think the president probably put her in that position to do that. I don't know.
Yeah, because there's discussions, just like when at the beginning of President Obama's presidency, some federal mandatory minimums were scaled back, you know, because of the just they weren't equal, like the for the punishment for crack and cocaine, like on the federal level, you had people with small amounts of crack getting these egregious sentences, you know, and these people with, you know, large amount, you know, that equated to the people that were having large amount of cocaine. And, you know, as you know, that crack is, you know, normally associated with, you know, people from, you know, ethnic backgrounds because they're selling it in those neighborhoods. And, you know, it's just, they're not the big-time coke dealers that are flying it in the country and they're getting,
right,
like, these sentences. You know, it's just, it's not right. And so, you know, this is another crackdown and saying, we're not going to do this. You know, even the president during the Trayvon Martin case, you know, came out and said, personally have been stopped. I personally have went through this. And I think as, you know, our kids around the country, we have to start standing up when these things happen.
Yes. And you know, one thing that Mayor Bloomberg was saying in his speech as far as why the law should stand, you know, the description. He said, yes, they may fit. It's a broad description. But when you say a broad description, why is it 84% of the African Americans and Latinos are the majority of the ones that are getting stopped? How is that a broad description?
Mm-hmm.
How is that a broad description?
And what fits, you know, and sometimes it doesn't fit. Just because, you know, you're black doesn't mean that, you know, that's just the only thing that you go on, or you're Hispanic. And so I'm going to pull over every single Hispanic person, every single black person. And, you know, just because you're, you know, of that color, now you fit the description of the criminal. That's not fair, because we don't do that to white people.
Exactly.
When they go out and, you know, they're killer killers, we don't knock on every white person's door and say, you're white, you know, you could be the serial killer. No, we don't do that. So it's not fair to do it to other races. It's not fair, and it's not right.
Now, one other thing I wanted to say about this, and we're going to go ahead and move on to our next story, is that what if our Jewish brothers and sisters had the same thing happening to them? Because a lot of people don't realize the Gestapo in Nazi Germany did the same thing to the Jewish people. So how is this different when you're targeting a certain particular sector of America? Same difference.
I don't think that. I just think that a lot of America doesn't relate to, and I will say this bluntly, I think a lot of white America does not relate ethnically and racially to other races outside themselves. Not saying that all, because I have, you know, friends of other races, white friends, whatever, that totally, you know, understand what's going on. But some of them, they just don't relate to what we go through, and just don't relate to the problems, the race problems of this country. And they don't own it. They think it's, you know, something outside of themselves, when they should say, this is my name. This is my country, too. And if it's a problem to my countrymen, it should be a problem to me, too. And we don't have a lot of that ownership going on.
Exactly. And that's a good segue into our next story right here. We're going to talk about Oprah Winfrey. She had an incident over in Switzerland where she basically was in a bag store. Now, I'm not familiar with these bags. I know a lot of our female listeners are. But these particular bags can be upwards of $35,000 up. And like I said, if you probably didn't hear about the story, the retailer, the worker in the store told Oprah that the bag may cost a little bit too much for her to really see. So what we're going to do right here, I got another clip. Each one of our stories, I think I got a clip. But I'm going to play this clip right here, and it's dealing with the little incident over in Switzerland. Y'all check this one out. You're listening to The Middleman on Blog Talk Radio. Here we go.
Zurich's most exclusive street, its most exclusive shops, and the perfect customer. The TV presenter Oprah Winfrey was in town for her friend Tina Turner's wedding, and she wanted to buy a handbag to take to Tina's big day.
And she refused to get it. She refused to get it. And she started to show me these other little bags. And I said, one more time, I tried. I said, but I really do just really want to see that one. And she said, oh, I don't want to hurt your feelings. And I said, okay, thank you so much. You're probably right. You can't afford it. And I walked out of the store. Now, why does she do that?
Today, the shop owner told the BBC this wasn't racism. And she's got a message for Oprah.
Well, I would take you in my arms and would kiss you and apologize and tell me, really, it was a misunderstanding and please forgive me and give Switzerland the chance.
Oprah Winfrey is influential and very rich. Estimated personal wealth, almost $3 billion. Although her daily talk show ended in 2011, her TV network earned her $77 million last year alone. She could have bought the entire shop, not just the £25,000 bag she had her eye on.
You heard that at the end of the clip, Jim. She could have bought the whole shop if she wanted to.
Yeah.
$3.3 billion. $3.8 billion, I stand corrected. Now, as you all know out there, Oprah has put a lot of money into this movie, The Butler. Now, you have those out there that are speculating that, you know, this is a ploy to help that movie get more viewers. Now, the timing of it, I understand why the timing is, because people ask questions, hey, how did you deal with racism? And you're going to give them the answer. So they want to put it out there like Oprah is basically using this as a ploy to make that movie go. But that's not the reason, y'all, because that movie is a good movie from what I'm understanding. But
yeah, I've seen it.
Yeah,
I've seen
it again.
Good.
Just give us some little something
it's
without
good.
Spoiling it.
Well, I say that, you know, I was very disappointed when I went to the movies because I went on opening night and I didn't see a lot of people there. And it's like, you know, we support, you know, support our movies about our culture, too, and about our history. And I think that it was a moving, you know, it made me cry because, you know, that and Fruitvale Station, if you haven't seen Fruitvale Station, go see it, because it's our story. It, you know, not only it was a story about a butler and about his, you know, journey through the White House, it was a story that all of us can relate to, and we could, you know, have someone in our family like that. And it was an important story to tell. And go see it. That's all I said.
Most definitely. And I truly don't believe that, you know, Oprah didn't mean any harm in, as far as trying to hurt the Swiss economy, as far as people talking about boycotting it or whatever. I mean, there's ignorance all around. Just like we in our last story where we were talking about Mayor Bloomberg and the Stop and Frisk law. You know, people in different countries, they have their own perspective and perceptions of us because somebody fed it to them. Just like in Japan, just like in Europe. I mean, they feed these perceptions of black people, and this is what they think. Not saying that everybody from those countries, not all of them, think this way, but this is what happens. And a lot of people are like, how did they not know this was Oprah Winfrey? A lot of people don't know that her show does not show in Switzerland.
It shouldn't matter if it was Oprah. If I went into the store and it was a Tom Ford bag, actually. I can't buy a Tom Ford bag. Probably in my lifetime I couldn't afford to buy a $35,000 bag, you know, but you shouldn't assume about people. And, you know, sometimes it's just not race. It's just assuming, you know, all of us have seen the movie Pretty Woman where she walks into the store and, you know, she has her little prostitute outfit on and the lady doesn't want to serve her. And she comes back and she buys all these outfits and the lady feels like a fool because she misses the commission, you know, on the stuff. And it's like, you can't assume about people. And like, America is a country of presumptions. We always presume, you know, by someone looks, the way they talk, or, you know, we put them in categories, and that's who you are, and that's who I made you, and that's you. And people have to stop doing that.
Most definitely. If you're just tuning in today, we're talking about the Minority Report, which basically means we're just discussing things that are prevalent in the minority community. If you're just tuning in, we just talked about Mayor Bloomberg, Oprah Winfrey. Now we're going to go ahead and switch gears up a little bit, Jim. We're going to talk about Russell Simmons. Now, if you've been under a rock or you don't have the internet and you don't have the internet under your phone, Russell had a spoof that he okayed on his internet station. I forgot the name of the channel, but, it's a Harriet Tubman sex tape. And, you know, he came under a lot of fire in regards to this sex tape. Spoof, if I will call it a spoof. But the thing about it is, when you look at our history and how we, you know, really, we're not, a lot of our people are not up on our history, as Jen was just saying, you know, like with the movie that they just put out, with Oprah Winfrey just put out, a lot of things, like even with the Black Panther movie, things dealing with more than just, what is his name? Well, anyway, just dealing with a lot of people throughout our history. We need to take it a little bit more serious, and we need to not make mockery of our figures in our history books or in our history, period. But Russell Simmons, like I said, he came under fire from the NAACP, and he basically had to make a short apology and a response. He really didn't apologize, but he took down the spoof. And I'm going to let y'all hear. This is Russell Simmons' response to the Harriet Tubman sex tape spoof. You're listening to The Middleman on Blog Talk Radio. Here we go.
Well, the vision of traditional comedy, the oppressed take advantage of the oppressor. That was what I saw, although it could have been executed better, but that's what I saw without understanding the underlying thing is that, I mean, although in the video she seduces the slave master, it implies the previous race.
Mm-hmm.
So I just saw her taking advantage of the slave master, and I just let it go. I mean, I have hundreds of pieces of content. We have probably have 100 poems that I've approved already. We probably have 10 web series. We probably have, you know, I don't know how many skits like that. We have so many skits. And, you know, in 30 years, I have never once pulled out a piece of content.
Right, yeah.
30 years. You know, I've always had controversy. I mean, I don't, this is different because, you know, there's a line which most poems don't cross and most records don't cross. When I got called and I found out that black women were so disturbed by it, it broke my heart. I'm sure I'm going to piss off everybody again tomorrow.
Right.
I got shit that's coming and going to piss people off.
Oh, what's coming tomorrow?
I can't tell you. Not tomorrow necessarily, that day tomorrow,
right.
But within the next future, near future, there'll be shit to piss people off.
Right.
But it's not likely it'll break my heart and make me react as quickly. The people around me are like, oh, does that mean that you're going to let them push you around? No.
Mm-hmm.
This is about black women, which is, you know, they can push me around a little quicker than the rest of the entire world.
Right.
And they didn't push me around. They educated me on how hurtful it was because I never considered rape. I just saw her seduce, take advantage of, and turn the tables on the slave map. That's what I saw.
Yeah.
It's really f***ing bad. I'm really sorry I did it.
Who else in the urban community has reached out to you? Or
a couple of people, Dream Hamptons, people who I respect. Spike Lee spent hours and hours on the Twitter. He could call me. The NAACP called me and said, oh, Really? NAACP has called me before and been mad at me, and
right.
I work with them regularly. So I don't listen to everything they said, but when they explain to me this, and when other people who I really respect and who I know have a kind of, they explain to me. It was my brain that made the decision to pull it, not outrage, because that's outrage about most everything I do.
And that was Spike Lee's response to the Harriet Tubman sex tape spoof. I can respect the fact that he thinks enough of the sisters out here to, you know, like, hey, man, y'all offended by this. I don't want to, you know, offend you guys. And also, this is a part of our history. So I want to make things right. And he went ahead and pulled that down. He said not from pressure because that ain't what he do. Because I do agree with freedom of speech. I do agree with artistical expression. But when it comes to certain things, and it all depends on our history, how you look at it, you know, some things should be somewhat untouchable. And I'm glad that he did respond in the manner in which he did.
I think that I haven't seen the spoof, but, you know, I've heard about the content of it. And I think that one thing that they were saying, you know, in the clip that you were playing is that, you know, he never considered the aspect of rape. And I think that one thing that, you know, we talk all the time about conversations that we haven't had in this country. And as black women, and how we were, our bodies and our image and anything from how we look, our sexuality, has been so abused and so dishonored throughout American history. You know, it is a very touchy subject, and it leaks on to other areas. Back to, even for example, back to what we were previously talking about, if you go see the movie The Butler, and I won't give it what happens away, but Mariah Carey plays the butler's mother in Macon, Georgia, and David Banner plays his father, and the white people who own the land that they work on, one of the men takes Mariah Carey, he rapes her. And then you see David Banner, and you see not only how it affected women, but how it affected men as well, where someone could take your wife or your sister or your daughter and do whatever they want to and abuse their body like they are not human. And you as a man are forced with the dilemma of what to do. And if you do something, you could be harmed, or your family could be harmed even more. It's a power struggle that I think that added to the demasculation of our men as well, you know, because, right. You know, the woman is his castle, is his sanity. And to treat that with such disrespect affected our men as well. And I think it's a deeper conversation, and to play with it, I don't think it's very funny.
And the thing about it, you know, Russell didn't do it himself. You know, he get a lot of artistical people, poets, artists, different type of people that goes to his channel and submit things to him, and he uploads them, or he either brings them in under his team. So he said basically he just saw the premise of it, which it was supposed to be a spoof where, you know, the slave was taking advantage of the slave master, and she's getting what she wants out of him. But the content of it and how it actually came out was in reverse of what he originally thought it was. So that's why it came out like that. You know, it's crazy. I want to give a shout out to our man Dr. Reed out there. I know he's listening on the internet right now, and also my man Chuck and George Cotton King. I'm going to give y'all a shout out again. That's a great shirt line. Y'all make sure y'all go support that shirt line, Cotton King's over there, and all the other people that are listening online. I really do appreciate you guys out there. But again, what we're going to go into right now, man, this is crazy to me. Robin Thicke has the nerve to sue. How in the world you going to sue the Marvin Gaye family?
I'm so disappointed by this because I like him.
I know, I understand, but we about to get it. I don't like that little dude, because, I mean, I like him, but not like that. When I first heard the record, I was like, dang, this is Marvin Gaye record. I'm dead serious. So for you, for all of those that really can't see the correlation in between this right here, I'm about to show y'all what's going down right here. Check this one out. I'm about to play the Robin Thicke record, and I'm going to play a little part of the Marvin Gaye record. So y'all check this out. Y'all tell me, dude, y'all hear the similarities in this. Check this out. Here we go.
Everybody get up.
Right there, that's the Blurred Line
record.
That's my song. I know you. I'm gonna tell you why you love it so much. This is why you love it so much. This is Marvin Gaye. Got to give it up. Check this one out.
Thank you.
similarities in that right there. Now, according to the suit that these guys basically put out there, you know, they said they have the uttermost respect and admiration for Marvin Gaye and the Funkadelic, which Funkadelic is a part of that suit too, because they have a song called "Sexy Ways." That, you know, that they feel that this record was in likeness of it too. But the suit claims that the Gaye family is alleging that Blurred Lines and the Gays Got to Give It Up feels or sounds the same, and that the Gays defended are claiming ownership of an entire genre as opposed to a specific work. Now, the thing about it is, when you hear that record, it's not even the fact that they're trying to claim a whole genre of music or whatever the case may be. But at the end of the day, when you hear those records, they have the same feel and they do have the same sound. I don't know anybody that can really argue that one. If the judge don't see it, maybe he's not hip or don't know any better. Now, do you think that they should be out here trying to sue the Gaye family? Because they're trying to protect that record from any type of financial, you know, downfall. They're going to get that money, I'm telling you. I really believe that the Marvin Gaye estate is going to get that money.
You know what bothers me? Because I like the song. I think it's like the Robin Thicke song, Marvin Gaye. I like both of them a lot. But I also think that you should always give, you know, when you stand on the shoulders of giants, give props to the shoulders that you're standing on. It's as simple as that.
I don't know who produced the record. I'm assuming that Pharrell probably produced it. And I don't care what you say. Even with the Got to Give It Up, they got the same woo in the same tone as far as the way that he's singing it. It's a little bit faster, just a little bit. Matter of fact, for those that are just tuning in, I want to play this record again. I'm going to play this record one more again. Yes, I said one more again, y'all. Check this one out. I'm going to play Robin Thicke's version. We're going to compare and contrast this. Here you go.
Everybody get up.
Marvin Gaye, back-to-back, compare and contrast. And if you want to get in this conversation, let us know what you think. The number to dial is 718-508-9972. Here's the Marvin Gaye, Got to Give It Up. Marvin Gaye's version. Now, Jen, you had the chance to hear it twice, back to back. What do you think?
Okay, I think they sound a lot alike. And like I said, Marvin Gaye is his frog. You know, it's good. You made a good record. Just, you know,
they're trying to say that it doesn't sound anywhere near, nor has the same feel. The key word in the suit is that the Gaye family is claiming that it has the same feel or sound. Doesn't it have the same feel or sound? And shout out to my man Jay Irvin over on Facebook. He said it's self-explanatory. You know what I'm saying? He feels that it's basically the same record.
Yeah, it is.
So I think that Clifford Harris, Mr. Farrell, for y'all that don't know who Clifford Harris is.
Now, get off of Clifford now. Get off of Clifford.
He's named in the lawsuit also. Clifford Harris.
Get off of Clifford. He's
I'm just saying Clifford Harris and Mr. Farrell Williams and Robin Thicke get ready to take this L. Now, I was going to play the Sexy Ways record from Funkadelic, and I listened to that like several times, and to be honest with y'all, I don't hear anything in that record that resembles neither one of these records. So if you get on YouTube, just type in Funkadelic Sexy Ways if you want to see why. I don't think you want to see why they think that they should be included into this lawsuit. If y'all hear it in there, please email us at wearethemiddlemen@gmail.com and let me know what you really think about that, because that Sexy Way record, I just don't hear it, Jen, at all. But it also goes back to the fact that a lot of our R&B artists, which are, you know, the majority of young black guys that are doing this high-pitched music, they really need to step their game back up and get back to music that makes us feel good again. Because this is what the Robin Thicke record does. I can't front, Jen. It got a little nice vibe to it, and we get to see Clifford Harris do his old man dance.
Hmm? You should see me in a car going down 400 every morning.
I'm just saying, though, it got that get up, that good feel to it, the good vibe of the music that we used to have. And I don't blame them for reaching back to grab that music. But the lawsuit to say that is, like you said, you got to pay homage. That lawsuit is like really crazy. But to all those that are supporting us out there, man, we appreciate you guys once again. I know that record is dope, and the Marvin Gaye record is doper. I will jam Marvin Gaye anytime, anywhere. Once again, I want to give a shout-out to my Cotton King friends out there, the Cotton King clothing line. Man, if y'all brothers got a link as far as to a website or something like that so I can tell people where to get that good grade of T-shirt at, make sure y'all shoot that over there to me so I can let them know that they definitely need to be wearing this Cotton King brand. And shout out to our co-host out there, Nick Eaton. Shout out to our co-host, Al. Even though, you know, I really want to put your tires on flat right now, brother. But it's all good. It's all love over here. And once again,
yeah.
We want to appreciate everybody that tuned in to the show today, the Minority Report, which we discussed some things that are more prevalent in our community, the minority community. Earlier, we talked about Mayor Bloomberg and the Stop and Frisk law, and also he had a little situation where he wanted to basically put people's thumbprints on the door where when you walk in, you just put the thumbprint down. That's in the housing projects in New York. I don't think that will go over well with the people. Also, with Oprah Winfrey over in Switzerland, you know, hey, if I were Oprah, I'd go by the whole block and tell them shut it down. Just saying. Also, we talked about Russell Simmons.
If I were the people, wouldn't give her the pocketbook.
That's what I'm saying, like with the quickness. And we also talked about Russell Simmons' YouTube channel posting up the Harriet Tubman sex tape spoof. And as you just heard a moment ago, we did a compare and contrast on the Robin Thicke Blurred Line records, which y'all know it sounds just like the Marvin Gaye records. They shot me over a Facebook link. It's facebook.com/CottonKings. That's facebook.com/CottonKings. That's Cotton Kings. The Kings has a G. A Z. Y'all make sure y'all support them brothers out, man. I want to give a shout out to my man LaVell Hines out there listening to me live out there in Texas. Appreciate you, fam. Man, great discussion today, Jen. Make sure y'all tune in this Tuesday for Tuesday Morning Takeover. We definitely got some records for y'all to listen to. I'm telling you, if you're at work, we call it the At Work Network. But if you're at work and you want to hear some good laid-back stuff that you get tired of hearing that same crap on the radio, make sure y'all check us out Tuesday at 10 a.m. Eastern to 12, that's p.m., that's Eastern also. And just log on, listen to it on your phone. If you have a smartphone, you can just type in m.blogtalkradio.com/the middleman. That's m.blogtalkradio.com/the middleman. And you'll see all our shows posted up there. And also, we're available over on iTunes. If you miss it, get that iTunes phone jumping, which we were talking about that iPhone 6. If y'all pay $800 for that, y'all smoking crack. But But make sure you tune in to that Tuesday morning takeover. And we also have the show on Thursday. That's Talk of the Town with our man Nick Eaton. Y'all make sure y'all tune in to that. That is an entertainment show. And that's all I got to say right there, Jen, for it all.
Yeah,
right
and
there.
We'll
shout out to my
Sunday.
Man Mike Thomas, too, man. Mike Thompson. Hey, Mike over there listening to us live on the Internet. Appreciate the fam.
Yeah, and next Sunday, definitely turn in because we're going to have probably, we had a couple lighthearted shows, and so we really, you know, we know our best shows are, you know, all of them are good, but, you know, everyone loves our serious shows, so it definitely will be heated next Sunday, so tune in.
Oh, yeah. I don't know which direction we may want to go, but we're going to have one for you. Definitely. We got some for you, man. That's going down. Once again, we do appreciate everybody that listened to this show. Make sure you go back and download it, share it with a friend, check out our archives. We had some great shows previously that you guys probably didn't get the chance to listen to, or probably did, because our numbers are definitely showing pretty good right now. So make sure you go back and check out our archives, all right? This is The Middleman. Mm-hmm. I am Kevin, and she is...
Ian.
Ah, we got it on time. I'm sorry about that earlier. Well, you know what, Jim? We got enough time. I really want to show y'all what y'all may get the chance to listen to over here on Talk of the Town. Tuesday morning takeover. I'm trying to go through my boy. I know Nick gonna get mad for me playing these doggone records. Let me see. Would I be wrong for playing a Nick Eaton record?
No, let's let everybody hear. Let them hear what they'll hear Tuesday if they tune in.
This is our man Nick Eaton right here, and we're going to take y'all out with this one right here. This is what you may hear on Tuesday. Check this one out. This is Let's Chill by Nick Eaton. Check it out.
You know that I ain't perfect. I know the days have come when you don't think that it's all worth it. Just know I'm trying to make it, trying to take it up a level. Cause you're my favorite girl, my pride, my world. And may I have this dance, just give me a chance. Cause I'm a better man. And I know that though I messed up, I just need for you. Have a whole lot of screaming kids. Baby, you and me ain't nothing that we can't win. Please believe in me, baby, we can take over the world. Just you and me, cause you're my favorite girl. Now, baby, take a minute, let me get up in your mental. So I can show you places, things and faces. It's essential for us to be the best, to take the test that lovers have to. Just let me prove my love will rise above. So may I have this dance, just give me a chance. Cause I'm a better man. And I know that though I'm messed up, I just need for you to see this opportunity. Have a whole lot of screaming kisses. Baby, you and me ain't nothing that we ain't win. Yeah. Please believe in me, baby, we can take over the world. Yeah. Just you and me, cause you're my favorite girl. Start a family, have a whole lot of screaming kisses. Just you and me. Ain't nothing that we can't win. Please believe in me, baby, we can take over the world. Yeah, just you and me, cause you're my favorite girl. Oh, got a screaming kid. Baby, you and me ain't nothing that we can't win. Just believe in me, baby, we can take over the world. Just you and me, cause you're my favorite girl.
And that was our man Nick Eaton with Let's Chill. I'm telling y'all, make sure you tune in on Tuesdays to check out that Tuesday Morning Takeover. There are some wonderful records on there, some great records. Make sure y'all check that out. To all the people that supported us over this period of time, we thank you, all the listeners. We appreciate everybody that's calling in. We appreciate you. I see we just got a caller to call in, Jen. We are at the end of, end of the show, so sorry you missed it. I know they're probably in a different time zone, so...
No, let them through. We got a few seconds.
No, they didn't have anything to say. I'm just saying, though, you know. Make sure y'all go. We're going to post up that Let's Chill whenever I get in contact with Nick Eaton, with that Let's Chill. We're going to post up on the Middleman Facebook page. That's the middle facebook.com/ The Middleman Talk Show. Or just check out The Middleman Talk Show, and we'll make sure we post up that record for all y'all that want to listen to that record right there. Once again, thank you. And we have.
We'll see you next week.
The middleman shouted, Big Chris shouted. Now I ain't sure what you was tuning in to. We'll pay attention to the real talk. What we here for, so take a listen time out. Take a minute. Shout in and learn some. Put your mind to grind the world. You destined to earn some. Linda, yeah. Comment on what you hear. Let's figure out the master plan to put this thing in gear. Don't matter if you hood or you corporate. Don't get you got a will to do way better than you were doing. Well, then you fortunate. Take a stand. Stop complaining about what you ain't got. Hating on the next man because he was dying to wreck shop. Every Sunday, tune in. Go live 6 p.m. blogtalkradio.com. The middle me. Hey. What's happening, the middleman? Hey, what's happening, the middleman? Hey, what's happening? BlogTalkRadio.com.